There are so many things that I'd like to preach on that honestly I find it difficult sometimes to decide which would be the most wonderful in reference to the coming of Christ. Of course, I haven't covered anything yet. It will take me months yet to cover Russia, the Jews, the different positions. You see, there are four areas here we're dealing with: the church, the world, the Jews, and especially powers of the Northern Confederacy composed of those that are north of Jerusalem. Must remember that God always judges east, west, north, south from Jerusalem. And so this morning, I thought I would like to talk. You remember last week I had reference to the perilous times that we have at this age we're living in, and found over in Timothy. I'm not going to take you over there again. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And I talked about, especially mothers last Sunday, lack of natural affection, and also the fact that children would be disobedient to parents, and the great responsibility that mothers had to their children. Many were under conviction. But I can't let the children out of this. And I want to take a portion, if I could, this morning, over in Revelation, because certainly if anything has spoken to my heart, I think of the astronauts, you know, and going up, and by certain current happenings that are around us speak to us as Christians of coming things. And I'd like to go to some of those portions of Scripture that speak to us especially. And although we are now going, let me say, toward the heavens, our scientists are developing it. Scientific advancements are great. Man is going toward the heavens. And we're going pretty far out. After all, the moon is a little short trip. Russia just launched her satellite, which will reach Venus in May. Hard to conceive of this, traveling at 25,000 miles an hour. It'll take till next May to get there. There are stars, of course, which none of us shall ever hit. Maybe you remember Mayor Lindsay the other day welcoming the astronauts and saying, "It's hard for me to conceive, but there are billions of galaxies like Earth in the universe." You know, we used to wonder how big it is. Well, let's see, it's inconceivable, the bigness of it. If we were to send a man out to the nearest star, let's say, way out in space, it would take 1 million years traveling at the speed of light to get there. So he would have long since died, and you'd have to send a whole group with generations, and maybe 60 or 70 generations later they might reach it. Hard to conceive of it. Imagine. You'd have to say when they left the earth, it was my great 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 great, you know, grandfather. Because traveling at the speed of light, 1 million light years away, and then there were those 10 million light years away. It means light traveling at the speed of what, 186,000 miles per second, is it? We're traveling 25,000 an hour. So the things become almost inconceivable, see, in the vastness of it, you know. And I couldn't help but think that while we are going at the present moment toward the heavens, it should talk to us about the fact that God has a lot to say in Revelation about things coming from the heavens upon the earth. Just the opposite, you see, from the heavens upon the earth. And if you read the book of Revelation, underline, in every place it says, and from heaven came. And then see the judgments of God, you know. All these things coming from the heavens. Now, in the book of Revelation, about 14 chapters of Revelation have to do with the Great Tribulation. 14 chapters of the 22 have to do with the Great Tribulation. Great trouble upon the earth. Israel's trouble, Jacob's trouble, the Great Tribulation. And there are judgments during that period that God is going to bring upon man. I think you could remember them easily if you remember them this way. There are seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and seven vial judgments. These are the judgments of God. 21 judgments. I remember them very simply by alphabetical order, STV. You can't miss that way. You may otherwise get mixed up. Seven seal, ST, seven trumpets, V, seven vials. So if you just remember STV, you'll sound very brilliant. Say to somebody, you know, there's 21 judgments, seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven vial judgments. All you got is a U missing in there. See? And you'll be missing. I'm glad to say that. Sorry I had to throw that in. You'll not be here when these judgments come. You will have been raptured out before the judgments of God fall upon the earth. I have often thought that had the astronauts, I remember when they were up there and we read in the paper that did that final great burst of the rockets fail when they were up at the moon there, that they would have forever been held within its gravitational force and would forever have gone around the moon and, of course, died, and that thing would just keep going and going and going. And the word forever was used. Forever they would have gravitated around the moon. And I couldn't help but think, one day, the only gravitational force that will have any power upon you and I is heaven. Heaven itself. Receiving glorified bodies like Jesus' body, you'll remember gravitation of the earth had no power upon him. He ascended in bodily form and was received into the clouds in heaven. And the only power that shall have gravitational force upon us is heaven itself. All other gravitational forces shall cease when we have glorified bodies. And we shall orbit around Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The Son of Righteousness, and we shall be close to him. In a sense, our bodies shall be weightless concerning sin and all of the terrible things of earth. And we shall gravitate around the Son of God. Now, the portions I'd like to read, if I might, this morning, are over in Revelation, the 6th chapter. And this has to do with the judgments, the first judgments that come. These would be the ones that begin the seal judgment. The angel has said earlier in these portions, if you'll remember this, the first chapter of Revelation deals with the glorified Christ. The second and third chapter of Revelation have to deal with the history of the church of Jesus Christ, the seven churches. Beginning with the fourth chapter, the first verse, we find the rapture of the saints in the presence of God, and God open a panoramic view to all the children of God with him of all that it is to occur from 4:1 to 19:11. That is the time of great tribulation. Just remember it, 4:1, 19:11. Great tribulation is all in this area in the book of Revelation. I want to do something, and I pray I have the time. I'll keep you till 2 o'clock. Oh, boy, just imagine. Now all those ovens home with the electric time clocks all throbbing away. straining at the leash to start the roast. The portions I'd like to take, and they've never been used this way. I've never read anything, so I feel the Holy Spirit gives things to men, and that's it. I want to take Revelation and throw you back to Ezekiel. These two books work wonderfully together, of course, and when I get to the Jewish people, you'll see this more than ever. But I want to take the first four judgments that fall upon the earth. Then I want to take you back to Revelation, back to Ezekiel. I want to show you there's a great similarity here when Ezekiel the prophet is speaking, and God is speaking to Ezekiel about the children of Israel, and that he has something to say that's very important to young people. Now I'll read the first four judgments. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, there's been a book given. They looked for a man. God says, look for a man who can open the seals of this book. It's the book of judgment. You remember, maybe you don't, but in the last chapter of Daniel, God says to Daniel, now I want that book sealed. It's not to be opened. It's to be sealed until the last days. Now it's to be opened. They look for man, and the only one is the Son of God, the Lamb of God. You can read it in chapter 3 and 4 and go through 4, especially 5, and find that he is given it, the Lamb of God, the one whose blood, they call him the Lamb, who was slain from the foundations of the world. He's given the book to open the seals. He's the only one worthy, God says, to open this book. Daniel was told it's to be sealed till the last day. Then it's to be opened. And Jesus opens the book. And now here we see the opening. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, you might quickly think this is the Son of God, but this is Antichrist, you see. This is the great deceiver, going forth to conquer. For you will see who he is called by the time I get to the fourth judgment. But notice, he's going forth. There's peace upon the earth first. He has signed peace treaties with Israel, made a covenant with them. And this peace upon the earth, he's supposed to be a great benefactor of mankind when he comes, the Antichrist. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. And you've seen the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You know, you always hear people talking about that. Here they are, see? And he was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. You see, peace was here. Peace. But now it's all the ravages of hell are going to break forth upon the earth in this last week of Daniel, the 70th week, 7-year period in here. And all hell is going to break forth. And he sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, people killing one another, mothers and fathers and children, broken apart. And we can even see that in our present age, that there are those groups that encourage children to be unfaithful to the parents and to show forth that the parents pray in their homes or do something in certain areas of our world. This goes on right now. In China, it says, there has been at least now 5 million Christians have been slaughtered. In Russia, over these past years, we never hear of these things, but if you listen to the missionaries, millions have been slaughtered for their witness for Jesus Christ, and children have been encouraged as the property of the state to come in and to reveal whether their parents still have altars and still pray. And still have a Bible and still believe in God. You have to hide the Bible. And I remind you that in Russia, it's, as Dan Poisty said, $500 is paid for a Bible to read. And then has to be hidden away, as it was in the days of the catacombs. So they have to go and try to worship by themselves. And so here it says, peace is taken from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And then he opened the third seal. And I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou dost not hurt the oil and the wine. A measure of wheat for a penny, this famine upon the earth. A measure of wheat is a pound of wheat. A penny in that day was a day's wages. This is all you could get for a day's wages. A pound of wheat for the whole family. Wages are a little different today, but this is the judgment. This is that which is coming upon the earth. Famine and all kinds of pestilences, as we shall see. And three measures of barley for a penny. But see that thou dost not hurt the oil and the wine. Don't touch the rich yet. Their judgment's coming. Leave the rich alone. You'll remember another portion where God says, woe to you, rich men. Woe to. You have piled up for yourselves judgment in that last day. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He that hath this world's goods, Jesus says, and gives not to his brother, what judgment shall fall upon him? When I think of the judgments of God here, that he speaks of, the black horse, the red horse, the white horse, a measure of wheat for a penny, starvation upon the face of the earth. We can hear the scientists say the great population explosion is going to cause starvation on the earth by 1975. They say the greatest famine the world has ever known will sweep the earth. And I want to tell you something. A nation hungry for food will be like the hordes of Genghis Khan, descending upon all the nations of the earth and plundering for food. When you're hungry, you do anything. This is what the world faces. Science says so. I don't have to get beyond that. They don't talk about the year 2000 and the hunger. By the year 2000, they speak of 8 to 10 billion people. Now what is it, 3 billion? Hunger! Hunger! Do you know that more and more young people are leaving their farms? Why do you think they're trying to discover food out of the ocean, oceanography? Why do you think they're trying to discover how we can sustain mankind on pills? I don't know whether you're going to enjoy it. I find it a little hard to conceive, you know, of sitting down to three pills on a plate. This is, especially with Christians. And yet this is the thing they face. A measure of wheat for a day's wages. You know, I couldn't help but think, I don't think God is cruel to man in this torment. I only have to look at Biafra, that's all. 13,000 children die every day with their ribs protruding from their bodies, and because of political things, no one does a thing. 13,000 per day. I think of Hitler and the Jews, and the Jews forced to eat their own children so they could live. Think of it, young people. I think Vietnam and its little villages, and I'm not thinking of any political side here at all, but I'm thinking of just what I've seen on television of mothers and fathers and children, and I put myself in their place. We've never seen war before, you know. You've never seen it, you see. Now you have it portrayed before you. I think of all these things. I think of the ages of persecution of God's children. I think of the Romans and the Crusades, and I think of Spain and the Torquemada, and I think of Hitler and the Jews. And I think of all of the persecutions down through the ages, beloved.
and our ghettos in New York City, and 800 children every year bitten by rats, and 100 die from rats. It's been going on for 25 years, and while Christians gorge themselves with food and buy their furs and their jewelry, people within 10 miles and 15 miles are dead. I can't see that the judgment of God at this point upon this world, when he speaks of great starvation coming, the four horsemen, and that day that is yet coming, when the terrible trumpet judgments shall come, the seal judgments first, the trumpet, and then the vial judgments. And beloved, listen to this one here. He opened the fourth one, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name, notice now, that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. This identifies. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now may I turn you back quickly to Ezekiel. All right, I'm not going to comment on that. There's enough comment right there. But may I take you back to Ezekiel 14? For here, beloved, you will get a pretty good idea. Way back here, God speaks to Israel. Sixth verse, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. You might well say that to the church of Christ in this day. Turn yourself away from your idols and from all of your abominations. And then down to the 11th verse, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Now notice, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, this is the 14th chapter of Ezekiel, 12th verse, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread, hunger and starvation, and will send famine unto that land, and will cut off man and beast from it. Now notice, this is what I'm interested in. And though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in that land, he's just giving an instance here. Suppose these men were in that land. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. That's it. Nothing else. They'd be delivered. No part with this. These kind of men. And if I cause, now notice the similarity of the four judgments here, and if you'll match them up with the ones in Revelation, you'll find they join right up, see? And if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it becomes desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, Daniel, Noah, and Job, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Now notice this one. For if I bring a sword upon that land, remember it spoke of war, conquering, and the sword go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. For if I send pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut it off from man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Now I want to say something quickly. God gives three men here. Notice this. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Noah is the great picture of salvation. By grace, Hebrews 11 tells us very clearly
that because of Noah's faith, he was adjudged righteous. Not because Noah was righteous. He had a lot of flaws and a lot of sins. Salvation is by grace through faith. And so Noah speaks, first of all, salvation of the soul. Daniel speaks to us about another thing. Daniel speaks to us about separation. Daniel appears before Belshazzar. He refuses the edict of the king because he would have to then violate his covenant with God, with Jehovah. He refuses to bow down to the king. He prays to Jerusalem. He uses his prayer mat, and he cares not for that which may happen to him. Daniel indicates the one who saved and separated unto God. Separated. Job indicates the stability of the soul. Ah, these three men. Listen, Christian, are you like these? These are the ones who are delivered, you see. Saved, yes. This is one thing. You'll be delivered. Because righteousness is by faith. That's what it said about Noah. But God wants more than that. God says, these three men, notice what they show to you. I want you saved, separated, and stable before God. Job says, yea, though they slay me, yet would I trust him. They take away, remember, God takes down the hedge between Job and Satan throws everything he can at Job. He takes away his family, he takes away his goods, he takes away everything he possesses. And Job has but one cry, yea, though you slay me, yet would I trust thee. That's faith. That's faith. These three men. But I want you to notice something, young people, and this is for you. Not a son or a daughter got in on their father's faith. Did you notice that? I will deliver them because of their righteousness, but their sons and their daughters, departed from God. I want to say this, young people. It's a glorious privilege to have Christian parents. To have a mom and a dad who know Christ. But this is no guarantee of heaven. And I have to say this from the Word of God. And oh, I wish we had hours here, but we don't. And I'll just have to read a few verses to you, young folks, so that you understand that while God has something to say to moms and has something to say to fathers, he's got a lot more to say to young folks. If you go through the scriptures, it's tremendous. Listen to some of the verses. And this is and makes me think of 2 Timothy 3, in the last days perilous times will come. And young men, it says, shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall have lack of natural affection. They will be disobedient to parents. And here we are, we understand the Word of God. Now listen what God says in his Word. It's not going to be passed again. I'm so thankful for that. I don't want to castigate anybody from my own personal opinions. It has nothing to do with. But listen to God, Proverbs 30:11. There will be a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. This is that last generation. Be careful, young folks. God says there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Proverbs 1:8-9. Let me read it. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head. Proverbs 15:20, a foolish man despises his mother. 19:26, Proverbs 19:26, he that wastes his father brings him, in other words, to despair and illness and heartbreak. He that wastes his father and chases away his mother from him is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. In 2020, whosoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Listen to me, young people. God is speaking. How can I cry out anymore? Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 28:24, whosoever robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it's no transgression to rob them, the same is the companion of the destroyer. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick out, and the young eagles shall eat him. Made me think of Mark Twain. You know, when Mark Twain said about his dad, he said, you know, he said, when I was 14, 15, 16, he says, I couldn't understand how my father could be so stupid. But he says, you know, when I got to be 21, I was amazed at what my father had learned in 6 years. Truly, young people, I plead with you. There are not near this many verses about mothers. I have often said concerning our children, we do what we can until they're that age where they have to decide for themselves. They become responsible to God. Really, when they leave you for college, that's it. What you haven't done before college, you aren't likely to do after. They're on their own. But oh, may I plead with you, young people. You know, I'd like to make a list of these verses, and maybe you young folks would like it. It might help, you know, to look them over now and then and see what God asks for young people. You know, I sometimes say, mothers and fathers, we have such a great responsibility here, you see. But I remind you that God is making very clear here in this portion in Ezekiel. He speaks of the same judgments as Revelation. And he says, though there are men of this character who are the fathers, notice the many picks, Noah and Daniel and Job, tremendous men of God. He says, though they be, it doesn't mean their sons and daughters get in. I will deliver only them for their faith. Young person, ooh, young person, don't ever put the word of God aside. I love you too much that I wouldn't tell you the whole truth. Because you might listen to me speak about mother and dad, and you know, you might look at them and say, well, it's not my fault. But I have to turn the picture around now and point out to you that God in his word puts a lot of responsibility on your side too. May I say this? While there are great paternal responsibilities to the children, there are just as great filial responsibilities from the children to the father and mother. May God touch our hearts together. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy blessed word. Lord, what a tremendous portion of scripture tells us the kind of men are going to be saved and escape. You tell us you're going to deliver this type, this man, but this doesn't mean that the sons and daughters are delivered because of their fathers. And we note that the word of God says here, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. The act of faith, the act of belief is personal and individual. Lord, we don't want children to be copies of us because they sort of follow us without a real transformation of the heart and faith in Jesus. How we pray this morning that every young person here may truly be in love with Christ and may want to be part of a most wonderful family relationship with mother and dad. Lord, we pray for moms and fathers for their side, but we've got to pray for sons and daughters for their side, so that when Jesus comes and takes us to himself, there'll be the wonderful taking up of whole families together. It won't be a matter of, as God points out here in saying that in Israel it was so bad that only the dads, only the old-timers, only the faithful were saved. And the sons and daughters were going their own way. And he's just reprimanded Israel and says they must repent. Now, Father, we pray for repentance in all our hearts, whether we're on the parent's side or on the children's side. Father, touch hearts this morning. And may there be a desire to really please thee. While our eyes are closed, may I ask a simple question? Do you want to please God this morning? Either young folks or parents, just put your hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I want that place. Yes, I see that hand. Lord, bless you. I want that place before God. As a young person, yes, I see that hand. Lord, bless you. Yes, I see your hand. Lord, bless you. Yes, Lord, bless you. I want to be before God what he wants me to be. I'm a mother. I'm a dad. Oh, God, help me to be what I should be. Or I'm a young person. I'm glad to see some young people's hands going up. I want to be what God wants me to be. Yes, I saw your hand. God bless you. Any others? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Any others? Oh, beloved, parents and children, that you might be pleasing to God. Anyone else? Quickly. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you, mother. Yes, God bless you. Any others? Yes, Lord bless you. Put your hand down. Any others? Wonderful. Any others? Just put your hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. There's lack in my life. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you, Mother. Yes, Lord bless you, Father. Any others? Young folks? Fathers, mothers, grandmother, grandfather? Doesn't matter. Just as I close. Anyone else? Quickly. Hand up. Pastor, yes, I see your hand, Mother. God bless you. Any others? Pray that God will bless. Yes, Lord bless you, Mother. Any others? Yes, young person, God bless you. Yes, Father, God bless you. Any others? Yes, young person, God bless you. Any others? Yes, young man, God bless you. Any others? Wonderful to say so, you know. So simple. Just that uplifted hand, Lord, I really mean business. Anybody else? Quickly. I just don't want to close. If you want to say yes to the Lord at this time. This is not salvation now. Just being pleasing to God. Anyone? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Any others? Yes, Lord bless you. Dad? Yes, God bless you, son. Yes, daughter, God bless you. God bless you, son. Yes, God bless you, daughter. Any others? Just as I close. So many hands have gone up. Mothers, dads, and young folks. Anyone else? Just as I close now. Father, we thank thee. And we pray now that you'd wonderfully bless the word to our hearts. We thank thee, our Father, for the preciousness of it. Apply it to our hearts. Lord, may we all realize we're individuals to God. Each one must be saved by grace. And each one must remember that Paul says, now that you have your salvation, he puts it so well, work out your own. It belongs to you now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Father, help us who are saved and made the workmanship of Christ to present to him our bodies, our minds, our spirits. In Christ's name, amen.